Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And you can also stream podcasts of prior shows under Public Affairs and listen on the WDIY app. Today is January 5th, 2022. The markets were down today, with the Dow closing at 36,407, the NASDAQ at 15,100, and the S&P at 4,700. Now, people seem to get nervous and worried when the market's down, but I think last year, I glanced at last year's numbers real quickly, don't know the exact day, but just around January of 2021, and I think the Dow closed at like 31,188, the NASDAQ at 13,457, and the S&P at 3,851. So think about those numbers. The Dow is closing down today at 36,407, and a year ago it was 31,000. So we're still talking about up numbers, and the NASDAQ at 15,100, and last year 13,457. The S&P at 4,700, and last year at 3,851. So overall, we're up over the year. So let's try not to panic. We're typically in these things for the long run, and it's those people who stay disciplined to their strategies that typically win out. But of course, you know, you have to understand your own circumstances. What are we talking about tonight? Our topic tonight is planning ideas for the year ahead. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Eric's in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. And if you prefer not to speak live, just give your question to Eric, and he'll write it down and bring it into the studio to me. Let me also start by saying Happy New Year. We hope that 2022 will be a little bit smoother, a little bit better, a little bit happier for everybody, a little bit healthier for everyone. In comparison to where we've been. But, you know, overall, I'm sure most of us are still quite fortunate and, just try to take care of ourselves and take care of those around us as well. So Happy New Year. Happy 2022. I was out for a couple weeks, so appreciate the break. Talking about planning opportunities for the year ahead, it's interesting. My son, you know, is entering this field as well, and he used to answer the calls here, in fact. And I said to him, do you have any ideas of what, you know, would be a good topic to talk about and for planning for the year ahead? And he started off by saying, you know, Mom, what about a financial wellness check? Now, my son's 25, and I just think it's wonderful that he is already of this mindset and understanding of what actions one might be able to take to help their own financial situation. As we look forward to the year, we think of resolutions, New Year's resolutions. I really try to steer away from making New Year's resolutions because it always seems like people make resolutions and then they fall short of them. So instead, I like to just let's talk about setting goals and working toward the goals, because it's not like a make or break or a I did it or I didn't do it. It's a process. And I think that it's much easier and much less pressure when we think about these you know, planning goals as a process rather than you did it or you didn't do it. A process is something that can take time and can be, not manipulated, but massaged over time to get where we want to go. So when we talk about financial planning opportunities for the year ahead, I'm going to borrow that from my son, do a financial wellness check. And that financial wellness check could include reviewing if you're on track to meet your goals. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Reviewing if your strategies to meet your goals are working. We're going to talk a little bit about planning within the elements of your financial planning, and maybe if we have time, reviewing your how you monitor your portfolio, especially if you do it across accounts or custodians, and you know some of the other items that you can do in planning opportunities for the year ahead. So let's talk about this financial wellness check to meet your goals, and here is the key word: goals. What I have found over time in working with people, and even for myself, if you set a goal, it just makes such a difference. I worked with an advisor once who said, unless you set a goal, you're not really striving toward anything or for anything. So I thought that I would start by giving a little story for myself that my husband and I did. And that is, regular listeners know, I'm from Michigan. My husband and I are both from Michigan. We love Michigan and love Lake Michigan, love being around the water. We still have family there, my mother and my father-in-law, and we each have a sibling there, and we also have siblings all around the country. Now, those siblings all around the country like to come back home and visit mom and dad as well, my mom, my husband's dad. And my husband and I had talked for years how wouldn't it be nice if we could have a place in Michigan, because we've been in Pennsylvania since 1988. We always go back to Michigan many times a year. And, you know, years past, we were always kind of staying in hotels because there's just so many people in both of our families. And we thought, wouldn't it be nice? We vacation there every summer in Holland, Michigan. And so we always talked about having a place in Michigan. Wouldn't that be nice? We should get a place in Michigan. We talk. And then one day we looked at each other and we said, why are we always talking about it and we're not doing anything about it? What steps can we take? Well, my husband said, why don't we call a realtor and have him, see what we would qualify for, etc. And so we met with a realtor and did that. But prior to that, we also talked about what do we want? What would we like to see? What would this look like if we bought a place in Michigan? Obviously, it had to be affordable because we would then have two homes, and that seems like quite a luxury, but we wanted to do something modestly. So a home that would be modest because we would only be using it basically for vacations, but beyond that, not just for us using it for vacations, but for our family members to also have a place to go should they go back to visit, mom and dad. So modest, we said we might want to stay here as we get older as well. So have a place that doesn't require a lot of stairs, a place that would have a master bedroom on the first floor, that would have laundry on the first floor. So we started visualizing what we wanted. And boy, oh boy, did that help really refine our goal setting and the strategies that we needed to implement to meet this goal. So met with a realtor, understood what we wanted, started kind of looking at a few places. And we did that for 4 years. And it's not that we were bothering this realtor all the time. We were just looking occasionally. He knew what our goals were, and we were very methodical about what we were doing. And during that four-year period, we were saving, so that we would have money to make a down payment. One day, a friend of ours called and said, hey, Lori, there's a condo for sale next door, and the condo's really like a duplex, a condo for sale next door, and you know, are you interested? I said, oh my gosh, I'm in Michigan. The next day I went, it was exactly everything on our list. It was cheap. And we put in an offer and we got it. And that was 5 years ago. So we planned for 4 years before and have had it for 5 years. And it was everything that we wanted. It met all of those goals that we had. It's, you know, first floor, affordable, et cetera, et cetera. And it's been really a beacon for all of the family members to be able to come and visit and, you know, take my mom there to visit and can walk near the water, et cetera. So that's my little story about planning for the year ahead. Let's start with, yes, the financial wellness check. But as I said, the financial wellness check to meet your goals. So when I come back from our next break, we're going to talk a little bit more about goal setting. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. 88.1 FM and available at WDIY.org as well. We are talking about planning opportunities for the year ahead and doing a wellness check to meet your goals and understanding what those goals are. I'm going to tell another quick story. So goals can be, you know, a saving objective or a retirement goal. So I just gave you an example of what I would call maybe a saving objective. We wanted this vacation home. We saved some money. And when that opportunity presented itself, boom, we were there and it was already. I have to be true to what I say at the end of every show every week. Be proactive, not reactive. It was in being proactive that I didn't have to be reactive. We were proactively seeking this opportunity. We planned for it for 4 years. It seemed like a long time, but then it happens in an instant. And when we, you know, the fire was, what do you call it? The iron is hot. We were ready, and we would not have been ready had we not seen that goal, visualized that goal, and worked toward that goal of having that second home. Now, some people will talk about a retirement goal. They might say, I want to retire. And quite often I'll have people say they might want to retire at 60. Well, some of the questions we have to think about there is, if I retire at 60, what am I doing about health insurance? That's one of the biggest expenses someone might have in retirement. And what are you going to do about that? That would be a retirement goal that you want to make sure that you've proactively planned for. So I have, you know, a number of clients who have had this as a goal to retire early. They know they're not going to have health insurance. What are their options? They're going to have to buy health insurance either through their former employer on COBRA, which only lasts so long, not from age 60 to 65 by any means. Only a handful of months. So what other options might one have? They could go buy insurance, you know, individually. They can go to any of the healthcare providers, insurance providers in our community, and buy individual insurance. There's also the marketplace. Well, in Pennsylvania, we use penny.com for our health insurance needs as an option as well. And by using that, there could be an opportunity for saving on your premiums if your income is within a certain income threshold. So when we're thinking of retiring, if we retire early prior to age 65, when we would be eligible for Medicare, what are our healthcare options? If you have a spouse and your spouse has health insurance coverage, you may be able to go on their plan. You have to understand how much that's going to cost. What I have had a couple clients do is they save for it. They have a big cash stash ready to use for that health insurance premiums, and that way they can manage the income on their tax returns because they're using the cash that they have available in their accounts. Quite often these are, you know, conservative investors to begin with, and they like the security of having some cash on hand, using that for their cash flow. Then they control the income on their tax return, they qualify for some premium tax credits, and then the health insurance isn't costing as much. That's just another example of having a goal and trying to understand the implications of what that goal would mean. So even for example, buying the house that we did in Michigan, we have to understand that there are condo fees and that there's real estate taxes, and how are we going to make sure that we can handle that as well. In fact, when my husband and I got a mortgage for that house, the gentleman had said, "You guys are so good with your money." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You could afford a much more expensive house." Well, we didn't need a much more expensive house. That what we got met all of our goals, and those goals align with other long-term goals that we have. So the same thing with your retirement planning. It's not just, oh, I'm going to stop working. It's how am I going to meet my cash flow needs, whether it's for health insurance premiums or paying your real estate taxes and things like that. We had a call from Scott in New Tripoli, and he said tenant in common and then inheritance taxes. He inherited as a tenant in common, and he's asking about establishing basis and paying tax on half. So, Scott, I believe what you're indicating here is that you inherited an asset that you must have owned tenants in common with someone. That means probably someone other than a spouse, because a spouse generally is tenants by the entireties. Occasionally you will have tenants in common with a spouse, and that could be for various estate planning reasons. So a tenant in common could be a brother and a sister, or a mom and a child, or a dad and a child, that type of thing. Could be partners. So tenants in common means you own your half and the other person owns their half. Now, if the person who passed away was tenants in common with you, then it would go via their will. It's not the asset titling tenants in common that you've inherited by. So tenants in common, you each own your own half. And or third, whatever it might be, tenants in common, you each own your own. And then if you pass away, if I own a bank account with you, Scott, and it's $10,000 and I own half and you own half, that's $5,000 each. If I die, my $5,000, who it goes to is controlled by my will, not by that asset titling. If it's joint rights of survivorship, then it would automatically go to you. Joint rights of survivorship automatically goes to you, but tenants in common is separate. It goes through the will, it's probate, and the will would say who it's going to. In Pennsylvania, how assets get taxed depends on how what the relationship is to the person that's inherited. So if you and I, Scott, back to my example, it was half and half. My will says my half goes to you, Scott. So it still could do that. But if I was going to do that, I probably would. It's right of survivorship. Scott called to clarify it's right of survivorship. Thanks, Scott. So if you've inherited by rights of survivorship, that's a non-probate asset. It automatically goes to the survivor. You just need a death certificate. For the most part, I don't know if there would be any kind of, you do have to pay inheritance tax in Pennsylvania, even when you're inheriting rights of survivorship. It depends on who pays the inheritance tax, though, Scott. If this person that you've inherited from has a will, and that will says, all of my inheritance or death taxes are paid out of my estate, and there is an estate of this deceased person's, their estate may end up paying the inheritance tax for an asset that you're inheriting by rights of survivorship. If there is no estate, then the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue will expect that you're going to cover the inheritance tax on what you're inheriting if there's no other means to get that inheritance tax. Okay, so I hope I've clarified that. Rights of survivorship goes to the person who is via the asset titling. Who pays the inheritance tax depends on what the will says. If there's an estate and the will says pay the inheritance tax out of my estate for all of, you know, no matter how someone inherits, then the estate may pay the inheritance tax. Either there may not be enough money to pay that, or if it doesn't say that, then the person inheriting would pay the inheritance tax. When you look at the inheritance tax return, there is a special filing where you can mark, you know, Schedule G, this is just a transferee filing, and you report the asset that you've inherited. And that's one way, if you're responsible for the inheritance taxes, for you to submit them. If it's a spouse, it's zero, and you don't have to, you know, spouses who own things jointly by rights of by the entireties don't even have to report those joint assets. But if it's joint with rights of survivorship with someone other than a spouse, then you're going to have to report that. And it depends on the relationship you have. So if you're related via a sibling, it's 12%. If it's a child or a parent, it's 4.5%. And if it's a non-relative, it's 15%. Okay, so I hope that helps. Now, as far as now you've inherited this with rights of survivorship, if it's just a bank account, it's just cash. But if you inherited, you asked about a step up in basis, establishing the basis. If it's stock, if you and I own a joint account with rights of survivorship or a transfer on death type of thing, then the basis is set to the date of death value. So joint with rights of survivorship, though, if it's joint, you would only get a step up in basis on half. A transfer on death would get a step up in basis on the whole thing for an individual account or a non-qualified account. IRAs don't get a step up in basis. So it establishes the basis as the date of death value, but if it's joint, then it's only a step up on half if it's 50-50. If it's like a third owner, then you would only get a step up in basis on, you know, the part that you're inheriting on that third. Okay, hope that helps. We need to take a break. I will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Psst! Did you know your phone is a radio? You can tune into WDIY anywhere on the go with WDIY's phone app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store, and your phone will become your trusted radio. The easy-to-use app lets you listen to WDIY on your phone live and access your favorite music shows on demand. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family, and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Scott called back to clarify a couple things, so I just want to go over this. And I apologize, my rush to get to the break, Scott. So if it's property, and I'm assuming, let's say it's real estate. So if you own real estate joint with rights of survivorship, let's pretend it's raw land. And let's pretend you and this person that you owned it joint with bought the land for $10,000. Your half in would be $5,000, and the deceased person's was $5,000. Now they have passed away. if the day they die, the fair market value is $100,000, and the fair market value can be determined by an appraisal, by a sale within a reasonable period of time, such as a year. Typically, an appraisal or a sale is what establishes the fair market value. So let's pretend now the person has died. You've inherited it by rights of survivorship. It's worth $100,000. Well, $50,000 is what gets reported for one half. So we have a joint schedule showing $100,000, but the decedent only owned 50%. So now $50,000 is included in the inheritance tax filing for inheritance tax purposes, and you would get a step up in basis on one half. So your original basis in my story, $10,000 of land, you bought it jointly, $5,000 is your half basis. Now you've inherited the other half, it gets a step up in basis. That's $50,000, which is half of my $100,000. The new basis is $55,000. On a $100,000 fair market value in my example. So I hope that helps. The part that's subject to the inheritance tax is the half that the decedent owned. So the half of $100,000 is $50,000, and it's the $50,000 that gets it ultimately gets reported on the Schedule G of the inheritance tax return. It'll ask you what percent the deceased owned. So if it was 50%, you take the full value, $100,000 times 50%, and include the $50,000. Okay? So, Scott, you had a lot of questions there, and I hope that helped clarify some of that. You know, you can contact an attorney for more help with that as well to make sure that you're, filing it and taking care of the taxes as needed. Or if you're not sure if there was an estate, maybe there was an executor or an attorney for the estate, and you'd need to find out if the estate is going to cover the inheritance taxes or if that is your responsibility. That would be very important to know. All right, so I hope that helps. Folks, we are talking about some planning opportunities for the year ahead. We've talked about a financial wellness check. And really, that financial wellness check is to review if you're going to be able to meet your goals. So we talked a little bit about making sure that you define goals. Now, people who work, quite often we've heard of something called SMART goals. And a lot of times they use this in workplaces, you know, over the past several years, SMART goals. And I think it can really apply well in setting your financial goals as well. And so what those SMART, what that means, SMART goals, is S-M-A-R-T, S for specific, M for measurable, A for attainable, R for relevant, and T for timely. So specific goals, the who, what, when, where, how type of goals, M for measurable, from and to, can you track the progress and measure the outcome? A, attainable, how? Is the goal reasonable enough to be accomplished, and how to accomplish that goal? So, for example, my story about the house. Did I want a million-dollar house that was on the water? Well, that would be nice, but it's not attainable. It wasn't attainable for me, and I wouldn't have wanted that even if it was attainable. I mean, I would love to be on the water, but I'm too practical to do that. I can walk to the water. I can have 10% of the price and walk to the water, and that is much more attainable. R, relevant. Is it worthwhile? Is this a worthwhile goal? Does it make sense? Does it fit with your, overall lifestyle or, goal setting strategy? Timely. When do you want this goal fulfilled? Your objective should include a time limit. I will complete this step by this month, day, year type of thing. So SMART goals, I think, are really, really important in setting your own goals, because how can you really do a check of your financial wellness if you don't have any goals? You can say you're doing well. I think a lot of people will think they're doing well, but if you haven't set goals, how do you know if you're doing well relative to the goals that you have for yourself, for your financial, success or financial story or financial, needs, whatever it might be. So you want SMART goals. And then what I'd like to talk about when we come back from the halfway point then is not just, a financial wellness check on meeting your goals, but also planning within the elements of financial planning to help you do that. I just like to see it as hitting on all cylinders. You want to make sure that all the elements of your financial planning are working together, because that is going to help, drive the success of you meeting those goals that you are setting up, those SMART goals. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Good evening, WDIY Allentown. The time is now 6:30 and is 32 with clear skies. Tonight is going to be partly cloudy with low around 27. On your Thursday, it's going to be partly sunny with high 36. On Thursday night, it's going to be snow mainly after 10 p.m., low around 27 degrees. And for your Friday, you may have snow before 10 a.m., high as 32. And Friday night, mostly clear with low around 15 degrees. For your Saturday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 32. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with the low around 21. Keep it right here. Coming up is more from Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back, folks. And we are talking about planning ideas for the year ahead. I'll just throw in a couple quick things before I talk about the bigger concept. Some quick planning ideas for the year ahead. Be aware of any increases in limits that you are able to take advantage of for tax purposes. So for example, 401ks, have a increased contribution of $1,000 this year. The catch-up is the same, but they've increased the employee contribution by $1,000. They have not made any increases on the IRAs, however, so that is still $6,000 plus $1,000 is $7,000. But on the 401ks, it went from $19,500 to $20,500. That's an additional $1,000. You can adjust your contributions if so suits you. We have a caller on line one. We have Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Lori. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'm sorry if I'm revisiting something. I'm not clear on. I have a small pension from a former job, and it's modest, but it's a few hundred dollars a month, and I'd like to use it toward my goal of going part time in like a year and a half. Because I know that my health insurance will cost more, and I'll be making less money, so I'm thinking I can apply for this to start in that time frame, and then that'll help make up for the shortfall of less money coming in. And there's a joint and 50% survivor pop-up annuity, which sounds interesting. Evidently, if the beneficiary dies first, which would be my husband, the participant's benefits increase to as if I had been single the whole time. But then there's also 5, 10, and 15 certain and continuous annuities. And obviously, if you pick the shorter time frame, the numbers are bigger.
Right.
But I'm just torn, and I just wanted to get some of your thoughts on that.
It's a good question, Carolyn. And, fewer and fewer people have the option to have a pension these days. More and more companies have done away with them for new hires. Pensions aren't available. But for people who may have started, many years ago, pensions still could be an option for them. And how those pensions pay out varies depending on the employer plan as well. So quite often we've heard in more recent years where employers don't want to be burdened by having to administer a continuing pension plan for people for years and years and years and years because life expectancies are longer. And so they are giving employees, some to our participants sometimes, more options as to what they can do with the pension. What you've described are very kind of traditional pension options, but I would say even a little bit you have even more options than a lot of pension plans offer. Quite often, you know, years ago, we would see a pension option of a single life annuity, which means it's just over your life. And then if you die, it's gone. It's done. If you die the next day, it's gone. Then there's, if you have a spouse, there's a joint with rights of survivorship. And that's typically with a spouse. And they would often give you the option of 100% survivor option, meaning if I collected for one day and I die, my spouse could get the exact same benefit I had. And that's kind of those two extremes. So meaning you said the dollar amount, the monthly dollar amount on that pension changes. So if we talk about the extremes of single life, I'm going to get the highest benefit because the provider knows that if I die the next day, it's gone and they get to, you know, basically keep all that money I earned all those years. But if it's 100% survivor, now we're talking about a joint kind of life expectancy, and that there's a potential that we could have a longer payout. So the payment on a 100% survivor is usually kind of the smallest monthly benefit. So people, years ago, it would be single life, joint 100% survivor, joint 50% survivor. And the joint 50% survivor would mean if my pension was going to be $1,000 a month, as single, then joint with 100% and my spouse would get nothing. If it was a joint with 100% survivor, my $1,000 benefit now might turn into like $900. And if I died, my spouse is going to get $900. Or it could be with the 50% survivor, I might only get $850 a month, and I'm making these numbers up, and my spouse would only get $425. So in essence, they take kind of a life expectancy calculation, and they say, based on all these different iterations, here's the net present value of the future, you know, sum of money that this participant, this employee got. And we're going to change it based on what their options are, what options they choose, because they can kind of calculate based on forecast of life expectancies for all these different scenarios. Now, you mentioned there was also something called the 5, 10, 15, or continuous. The continuous, I would say, would be the 100% survivor type of thing. The 5, 10, and 15 that they're talking about is a term certain. So you could say, hey, I want a pension, and the single life is really attractive to me, but I don't want to, like, what if I die the next day? I don't want to take that risk. Well, some people will feel better if they say, well, you can get that higher amount, but if you die the next day, you'll at least get it for 5 more years. Not just you, I mean your survivor. Mm-hmm. And the survivor might not be a spouse in that case. You could maybe name any beneficiary you want. Obviously, if you take a 10-year certain, that's going to be a little bit less than the 5-year certain, and the 15 is going to be less than all of those.
Right.
So you kind of have to really, it is a guessing game. It's a guessing game. Now, what you might want to consider, so sometimes people will say, you can kind of diversify your income cash flow options. Because the last option I was going to mention is sometimes these plan providers will offer a lump sum distribution, meaning you can waive doing a monthly amount. They're going to give you a check for the whole thing, the present value of that bucket, and you can take it and do whatever you want with it. And right now, with interest rates so low, that has been a very attractive option to a lot of people, but not every pension plan offers it. So you don't always get that option of the lump sum benefit. In the event you do get a lump sum, then you're controlling the monthly amount that you might need, and you control when you take it, which could help you control your tax situation, you know, as you navigate those retirement years. But it's also something to say that you have some fixed income that you're kind of certain of. So when you have some of these smaller pensions, you're guaranteeing maybe, like you said, a small pension, I'm going to say $300 a month. So that $300 a month could come in, and you don't have to think about that or worry about where you're getting it. It's kind of fixed. So sometimes that kind of helps you diversify your income a little bit. You don't have as much tax planning opportunities with it, but you feel like it's there, and you know, sometimes that just makes people feel better. So you really want to look at your cash flow needs, your income tax situation, your longevity, and your survivor's longevity in trying to determine which would be best for you. So if your spouse, you said your spouse was older, if your spouse is older, and let's pretend your spouse isn't in good health at all, well, maybe it's not as important that you do, you know, a 100% survivor. Maybe a 10-year certain or a 5-year certain might work in your circumstance. Someone else might tell me, oh, my spouse, gosh, they got longevity all up and down every side of the family. They're going to live to 100. I'm going to kick everyone in my family kicks off at 65. Well, in that case, yeah, you really might want to do a 100% survivor kind of option. You see, so it really is, it depends on each person's situation. But did you understand the term certain piece of this?
Yeah.
Okay. So that if you did a term certain, and if I die tomorrow and I do a term certain of 5 years, then that 5 years, that pension is going to pay out for 5 years, and then it's done. If I do a term certain of 5 years and I live 5 years and I die the next day, it is done. There's nothing left. The term certain starts the day you start taking it.
Okay. But it looks like the participants' benefit and survivors' benefit, I mean, it's the same amount in both columns for the certain.
For the term certain, yep. For the term certain, yep.
So if I did pass in that time frame, he would get the same amount I was getting for that time frame, 5, 10, or 15 years.
Right, but you start the clock on that. So if you live 15 years and you picked a term certain of 15 years and you die and he's still alive, it's done. Mm. But at least you've gotten it for the 15 years kind of a thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, you need a crystal ball, don't you?
You do. You really do. I mean, on a lot of this. So all I will say to people is you just make the most informed decision you can with the information that you have available at the time.
Right, got it. Okay, that was a huge help. Thank you so
much. Okay, good, Carolyn. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Have a good night. Thanks. Bye-bye. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So let's talk about the financial wellness. So, you know, we talked about the goals, having SMART goals, meaning specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. How are you going to do it? So, you know, I've talked about this on prior shows. I really think it's important to have like an inventory of your assets, your liabilities, know what your assets are paying you, know how they're titled, know how your liabilities, how much your liabilities are costing you, and the timeline on those. So have an inventory. So then when you're checking your financial wellness, you want to make sure you understand, your buckets, your assets, your liabilities, and what, when you look at the inventory of what you have, is that inventory helping you realize the goals that you have set, those SMART goals? Now, when we're planning ahead for the year, I had mentioned things like be aware of increase on limitations for the 401k. If you max out your 401k and you're over 50, you can do a catch-up contribution. So that's $20,500 plus $6,500. The 401k contribution for 2022 is $27,000. Some people just make $27,000. So you're not going to see those people maxing that, but that max could be very important to higher earners to keep in mind. For people who are lower earners, you still want to save and find different ways to save, and we can talk about that, but be aware of certain saving strategies that may help you meet your goals, but could also provide some other kinds of benefits for you. So that's why I want to talk about kind of organizing the elements of your financial life in meeting your goals. When we look at cash flow, do you have cash flow to save? Basically, most people, when they have financial goals, they are to buy something, acquire something, retire early, pay for education, leave a legacy. Quite often, these are financial goals. And the way you can meet those is you do have to have money. And people can do that in kind of any realm. It just means either sacrifice or extra work, whatever it might be. So if you have these goals, I mean, there was a time, folks, I worked three jobs to pay for my, education, to pay for my housing, to pay for my transportation. Sometimes we have to do what we have to do, and you hope that in the end, there's an end goal, and you can meet those financial goals that you have. So cash flow is really behind quite a bit of these. So what can we do for this year, for 2022, to plan ahead to manage that cash flow that will help us meet any of these financial goals we might have? We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking about planning ahead for 2022, some planning ideas, really doing a financial wellness checkup for yourself, understanding what your goals are, and having SMART goals for those that will be specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. How can we do that? We know and understand that financial goals typically involve accumulating some type of savings, retirement accounts, wealth. Basics to know going forward for 2022. Set it and forget it. If you're not currently contributing to a retirement plan, review that, check on that. Sometimes people are leaving free money on the table, meaning if you work for an employer who provides a retirement plan, quite often they will do a match, meaning if you put something in, they will put something in. That is free money. That is the easiest thing on the table to get. You may think, gosh, I can't afford it. But if you really did that financial inventory and understood your own cash flow, you might find ways to free up some cash flow, review how you're spending. If you don't know how to, monitor your spending, many people use apps nowadays. You can use an app on your phone. If you're not comfortable doing that, you can do what we've talked about in the past, the funnel method, meaning I think I spend this much money. I want to save $100 a month or $50 a month or $200 a month or $1,000 a month, whatever it might be, what you want to save each month. You back into that and then say, okay, if I make, $4,000 a month and I want to save $100 a month, then after taxes, maybe I have $3,000 less $100 is $2,900. I don't want my expenses to exceed $2,900. So I'm going to deposit my whole paycheck into my savings account and move $2,900 a month over to my checking. And if I'm spending more than that, then I'm really spending almost everything I have. If it accumulates in your checking account, it means you're not spending as much as you have, and you could maybe save more, and then you'll see your savings start to accumulate, and that's the goal. And if your savings are not accumulating, it means you're spending more than what you should be to meet your goal of saving $100 a month. $100 a month might not sound a lot, but it could be a way to start. Also, if you are deferring to a retirement plan, quite often you could get some tax savings on that, depending on if you're doing a pre-tax contribution to your employer plan or an after-tax. Maybe you're someone who changes jobs a lot of times, or the employer doesn't have an employer plan. You work at places that don't provide a 401k. Then you could set up your own retirement account. And if you're in a low income tax bracket, you could review putting money into a Roth IRA. And the Roth IRA, the beauty of the Roth IRA is that you can invest it and it can grow income tax free. If you ever need to tap that money, you can always take out the original contributions. I think it's a great way to save because it takes that pressure off of you of worrying, like, what if I need that money? What if I need that money? I'm not going to save anything in my retirement account because I might need that money. Well, the Roth doesn't have too many strings attached. You could always get out the original contributions, but the goal would be once you see that, you know, accumulating and growing, you get so excited and then you want to save more. That is typically what happens. That's what I see. Now, we also want to talk about when we're looking at cash flow and the inventory that you have when you're looking at your liabilities, you know, the biggest, you know, money waster is credit card debt. Credit card debt, you just really want to get that credit card debt under control. So if one of your SMART goals for planning ahead for 2022 might be, what can I do to reduce my debt or even, you know, become debt-free in 2022? Not all of us can do that, especially those who have student loans or really large credit cards. That is a key item to work on, reducing credit card debt. That is a huge, huge cost to people. And really, that would be something I would definitely want to plan ahead for 2022. So you want to review if maybe the card provider could lower the interest rate. Could you get a lower interest rate somewhere else? Could you cut up the card and not use it anymore and commit to using cash only for your spending? If you're spending too much, could you share cost with someone? Maybe, you know, share an apartment or, you know, that type of thing where you're sharing the cost to help your own cash flow. Work on getting that credit card debt down. Understand how much you're paying on it. Doing the minimum payment on a credit card, it will take forever to get out from under it. You have to understand how credit cards work and how those minimum payments work. It just will drown you. So you'll feel so much better if you take control of that plan ahead for 2022 to work that credit card debt down. So some of those items will help with planning ahead. I'm running out of time, so I have to cut my topics that I wanted to kind of touch on tonight down a little bit. Let me mention for sure monitoring your portfolio. So for those people who have been able to accumulate, you've saved, you might have a Roth IRA, you might have a retirement account at work, you might have a bank account, you might have an individual brokerage account somewhere. How are you monitoring this? Do you understand your risk tolerance? You want to make sure that you know how it's all working together. So if I have someone who tells me I'm very aggressive and they have, you know, $300,000 in their retirement account and they have it all in equities and they have $300,000 of cash in the bank, well, that isn't really aggressive. That's more balanced because they have half in equities and half in cash. That's more balanced. But does that make sense? You want to monitor your investment portfolio, the accounts you have, the geography of your investments. If you have equities in a retirement accounts, when you eventually take a distribution from them, it's all ordinary income. There is no tax-favored treatment on that IRA or 401k. Roth IRAs have special tax treatment, but not 401k. So if you have that all in equities, and many people do when they're retiring or when they're working, because that's where they put most of their investments. But if you tell me that you also have $300,000 of cash in the bank, then that cash may not be working for you and or even in a tax favored way. We'd like to see the tax favored investments in the individual account, where you're getting a tax benefit for capital gains. Long-term capital gains have tax-favored treatment outside of retirement accounts and qualified dividends. So if you're invested in equities and you have what's called a qualified dividend, that qualifies for a lower tax bracket and or a lower tax rate. Excuse me, a lower tax rate and sometimes a zero tax rate. So you want to understand and monitor your portfolio, how they're all working together. How are you doing that? So when you do that inventory of your financial situation and your assets and your liabilities, understand how those accounts are titled, what kind of accounts they are, and then how they're invested. And when you put it all together in one big bucket, is it comfortable for your risk tolerance? If you're someone who says, I'm conservative, are you really conservative when you look at all of the underlying investments and you put those all together? So one of the items planning for 2022 is to not just do that inventory, but also look under the hood and understand how all of your assets are working together. If you're someone who has that much cash in the bank and or, you know, cash in the bank in general, but you're because you like cash, but you're also running credit card debt, you know, $50,000 of credit card debt at 25% interest rate. Does that make sense? You can't get any, you know, return on your cash in the bank. It's barely paying anything, but that money on your credit card is costing you 25%. So you really want to do that inventory to make sure that you understand how all those assets are working together. So that's part of the wellness check. That's part of monitoring your portfolio and making sure all the different pieces are working together. Planning ahead for 2022. What if you are someone who turns 65 in 2022? What if you retired in 2022 and you're now on Medicare? At age 65, we can go on Medicare. Medicare premiums are based on a return we filed 2 years before, which means if I retired in 2022 at the age of 65, and 2 years ago I was in my highest earnings work, then my Medicare premium may be adjusted higher than what the basic Medicare premium would be. Medicare premiums are adjusted for your income. It's called the Income Related Monthly Adjustment Amount, IRMA. If you retire or you expect your income to fall in 2022 and you were a higher earner in prior years, if you get a statement from Medicare saying your Medicare premium is, you know, I think it's about $170 a month now, and let's say they tell you, I don't have the numbers up in front of me, let's say they tell you your monthly premium is going to be $220, you could say, hey, wait a minute, did I have a life event? Did something change here that my premium is being adjusted? Yes, my life event was I retired. I need to let Medicare know that I retired and I'm not making that much money anymore like I did 2 years ago. And it's called a form SS-44. And you can tell them you had a life event, that you either had a reduction in work, meaning you could have gone from full-time to part-time. You could have gone from working to complete retirement. You might have had a spouse, something happened to a spouse. You might have lost a pension. Maybe you had one of those term certain pensions that we were talking about earlier that is now gone. So if you've had a life event that reduces your income to a lower tier for those Medicare premium thresholds, you need to alert them of that. Estate planning. Folks, plan 2022. Review your beneficiary designations. What life changes have you had? Are your children older now that maybe before you might have had, you know, money going into a minor's trust or something like that, and maybe they're not minors anymore, and you need to update your documents to say, you know, my kids are now like 25, 28, they're older, they can handle the money, let's update our beneficiary designations. So review your beneficiary designations. All right. Income tax, understand how your income is being taxed. This is a great planning idea for 2022. We're almost going into tax season. You're going to be looking at all your tax documents. Look at that tax return and say, what is it telling me? What is that tax return telling me about my financial decisions? Am I making good financial decisions on my retirement accounts at work? Am I making a good decision on the geography of my investments? Do I have all interest income, or do I have qualified dividends that qualify for a lower tax rate? Or maybe I don't have any interest or dividends, and it could indicate I'm not saving at all. So lots of opportunities for you for 2022. Let's go in charged up and active and engaged with our financial life and make some really, really good decisions for 2022. Take advantage of some of those increases on the limits if needed and if it's applicable to you. And I also was going to mention something about getting an identity protection PIN. So I'll do that in a couple weeks. I'll talk about that to secure your tax return. Folks, thanks so much. Thank you, listeners, for calling in with your questions. Next week, we're going to have Bill Henderson, our head of investments, talk about 2021 in review and 2022 looking forward. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. Thank you, Shandi. Thank you, Eric. Have a wonderful night and a great week.